First chapter of Revelation, 10th verse. John said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And then I believe it was David said, this is the day that the Lord has made. I'll rejoice and be exceedingly glad in it. This is a good day to be here. But I want to ask you prayers, and I want you to know that I'm glad to be here. And you don't know how glad I really am to see Brother L.J. here. When they told me he was having health problems, I just couldn't hardly believe it. Because I know God had something for him to do. And I hope that all you children of God up here realize that enough to put every bit of the faith, every bit of the strength you've got in praying for him, that God will just restore his health back to him, because you need him greatly. And I'd recommend, you got a problem. I don't care if he is sick. I mean, I care, but don't enter into this. You got a problem. And I'm not talking about being some crybaby with every little thing you can think of, but a problem that needs, you need help, go to him and talk to him about it. While I'm talking, brother, and I've been seriously for months seeking God as to what God's order is for the way that we're to conduct ourselves in these latter days that we're standing in right now. And the Lord has finally let me understand it, give me light on it. So someday in the very near future, I want to see every one of you together at some given place. We'll decide on that. And we want to work out some things, because we're in the last days. We can look around here and we might not have time to do anything. Well, we can look around here. Wait a minute. I might read a little bit in the Word of God. Day cometh that shall burn as an oven. All the proud. Let me get something here to mark my place so I can keep up where I'm at. All the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly, shall be stubble, and the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wing. And ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. He said, and you shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the sole of your feet in the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts. We are standing in the most perilous times you can think of. You can't even think of anything more perilous than the day we're standing in right now. I went up to get a haircut Friday. People up there were talking about what was going on. Old brother Jim McCormick, the barber, says, he's talking about reading this and that in the paper. He says, you don't have to read the paper anymore. The Bible's already told you what's happened. That's where we're at. And beloved, these things are coming, and they're coming swiftly. I want to turn over here to something, if I can get right to it. In the book of Malachi, Malachi 3 and 6, he says, I'm the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed, even from the days of your father, you are gone away from mine ordinances. and have not kept them. Now he says, return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But you said, wherein shall we return? How will we return? What will we turn back to? Some people here have seen the miraculous working power of God. Some of you haven't. We were in a revival a while back, and old brother was there, crippled, couldn't even stand up on his feet, bless his heart. And we had some people that had just recently received the Holy Ghost, some young men, and they had been told how that God made the lame walk and all that. But the time come after a while till the power of God come down, and the old brother looked up at me, Brother Miller, and he said, Brother Melvin, the Lord touch me. We was praying for him, sitting there, couldn't get his legs to work. I said, let's go for a walk. And we walked out to the door and back.
Yeah. Praise God.
That evening, after service, he walked out, went home. Night service, he walked back in. Some of those young men come by and says, boy, I'm glad I saw that, because I'd heard of that happening, but I'd never seen it myself. Beloved, I'm going to tell you something. Folks will say things like that. Well, anybody would be an idiot to claim that would be a coincidence or something. But folks will claim they'll see the children of God praying and seeking God over something, and they'll say, well, that's just a coincidence that it happened. But I'm going to tell you what, a child of God has already found out. The more you pray and the more you seek God, the more good coincidence you see. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In other words, have we robbed you? And I want you to listen to this one. In tithes and offerings, and you're cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. In tithes and in offerings. Now I want to tell you what the majority of the religious orders are doing in this United States of America right now. The majority of them are still robbing God in tithes and offerings. They're robbing people in tithes that God never told or never put in the New Testament church. That tithe system is not in the New Testament church, never has been, and never will be. Why? The tithe system was given because of the 12 tribes of Israel. One tribe was to take care of the government of Israel. The sons of Levi, the descendants of Levi, and they were the priests called a Levitical priesthood. They could not own land. They didn't go out and work on jobs. They stayed and they carried on the religious orders and they carried on the government of the church. So each one of the other 11 tribes paid, took 10%, one-tenth, that's what tithe means, one-tenth of everything they made, whether it was eggs, chicken laid, or cattle they raised, or corn or wheat or whatever. They took 10%, and they were to carry it to the storehouse in Jerusalem. And those that didn't do that was robbing God. Now the religious orders of our country, they're robbing God, and they're getting it from the people in the name of God. And one fella told me a while back, said, pastor down there where I go to church, he wants to see our WD form. So he wants to know for sure how much money we got. We draw. He's a robber and don't even know it. You could not pay tithe according to the law, it would be next to impossible for you to do that today in this country, because you'd have to run all the way over to Jerusalem to the storehouse to put it in there, and to give it to the Levitical priesthood, and they're scattered all over the world yet. They're bringing them back in as fast as they can, but they're still scattered. Will you rob God? Well, have you done it? To them, they hadn't paid tithes. Now they're robbing them by taking it away from people in the name of tithe, the tithing system that was abolished. Brother Miller just pointed out a little something right over here on the next page, the end of the prophets. That law is dead. And the 7th chapter of Romans says we're dead to that law. So you see, it might seem strange that you'll see these good religious folks. Oh, they're the best folks you ever saw nearly Sunday morning. And they can tell you all kinds of scriptures. And I'm gonna. Since I said that, I gotta tell you what. Listen, I'm too dumb to do this on my own. I have to do what the Lord puts in my mind to do. First chapter of Romans. He tells us what sinners do, and one of the things he says they do is hold the truth in unrighteousness. Just mention that coming up here. Holding the truth in unrighteousness. How do you do that? How do you hold the truth in unrighteousness? I'm going to tell you how simple that is. See, a fellow wants to do wrong. He knows every scripture in the Bible about it, and he uses it to justify doing wrong. He's a crook. He's crooked. His ways have turned in the wrong direction. He'll just quote his scripture right on. Most of the time, kind of add to or take away a word or a period or a comma, a jot of a I or a tittle, just to make it sound just like he wants it to make it sound. Yeah. Holding the truth in unrighteousness. That's what these people do in their tithe system. Truth under the law, bring it over under the New Testament covenant. Why did I do that? You robbed me, he said. Whole nation. Now, I want to back down there to what else was they, how else did they rob him? In offerings. Under the New Testament, we're commanded the first day of the week. I know the brethren did that. The first day of the week, this is what we're commanded to do. We're commanded to lay aside in store the first day of the week as the Lord has prospered us. We got somebody out here that's barely getting by, barely able to pay an electric bill and barely able to buy groceries. Well, we certainly wouldn't want them to be burdened. God don't either. But when people do what they can do and sometimes sacrifice things that they just like to enjoy, then God will bless them, and he'll bless them financially too. But this thing called salvation is not something you just go out here, well, send me $50 and God will give you $150 back. You send me $50 and the chances are you're going to be overdrawn at the bank on that $50. Now, that's the way the money is supposed to be done. But I got in that for a reason. You have robbed God. Now, how do you rob God since God owns everything? And how do you rob him? And I want you to follow me on this. I want you to stay with me because it's important. Because I'll tell you what, Sister Dorothy, I'd a whole lot rather have slept late instead of got up at 3 o'clock this morning. And I'd a whole lot rather sit down over there and Brother Miller talk to y'all today. But whatever God puts on my heart, I am not too cowardly to tell you about it. Because one day, something's going to happen to you, to the good or the bad. Happens to the good, Brother LJ, I won't sit back there and say, boy, that old boy's all right. I mean, if it happens bad, I won't sit back here and I don't want to say, Lord, I wish I'd have went ahead and warned him like you told me. What did I say over there? First chapter of Revelation, 10th verse. John said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Anybody got any idea what day that was? You know what the Lord's Day is in the Bible? It was the day that Jesus rose from the dead. You know what day that was? It was the first day of the week. You know what day that is? What we call Sunday. The Jewish Sabbath was Saturday. And he said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. Just to show you that he meant for that to be our day of gathering together, he says for you and me to lay inside in store on the first day of the week, that's the Lord's day, as the Lord has prospered us. He said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Well, if that's the Lord's day, Sister LaVon, guess what? That's not Sister LaVon's day. That's not like some of the boys tell me, and boys, if this gets on you, I hope it burns you up. Some of them says, I work all week and I don't have a chance to do anything. I'm going to go out and golf today. Well, I hope you get hit in the eye with a golf ball if you got that kind of attitude about you. It's not your day. You a child of God. It's God's day. It's the Lord's day. Well, I'll get up and go fish a while and then go to church. Beloved, I'd like to ask you to tell me a few chapters and verses in the Bible and just answer two or three problems we got to me. I'll sit down and let you have the stand if you'll do that. If you've been stealing from the Lord's time when you ordered glory to God, you ought to have been out somewhere before you, God, and yourself and the Word of God and finding glory to God and finding out what God would have you to do. Glory to God. The Lord's Day.
Bless him, Lord.
I'm going to tell you something. I had to use the Jewish Sabbath night, most of the time Friday night, to get in shape to do what God let me do on his day. Now, this might hurt your feelings a little bit. I hope it does. But we're living under a political system that wants to destroy Christianity. I mean, they want it destroyed. The other day, a couple of teenage boys burned a cross in some people's yard. I believe it was 5 years they give them in the pen for burning a cross. You watch this bunch of people that's enemies to the country, they'll go out and desecrate the American flag and burn it, and they don't arrest them. They made it illegal to post the Ten Commandments in the courthouse, and that is the foundation of the laws of our Constitution. Our nation is against true Christianity. So guess what? They're going to make it as hard as they can for you to honor the Lord's Day. When I was a kid, no, not a kid, I was working sales management working a good many people. And they started going to abolish what they call the blue law. That was making people work on Sunday. And you will be surprised how many of the people just ate that up. I says, you're not using any common sense at all. Once that law is abolished, the businesses, the factories, they'll just set up your shift, and you won't. It won't matter what day of the week you're working. That'll be your shift. You think the devil has got a hand in that? God hadn't. That's not God's doing. Now, what I'm saying is this. Sometimes we have to sacrifice to obey God. This Christian church, the body of Christ, has just been washed with blood throughout its history. Why? Fellow was talking to me a while back. Everybody sins. It don't matter. Everybody commits sin. I said, well, black feller, Church of God in Christ feller, he says, you know, people just commit sin. He says, we have to forgive them. He said, God will forgive them. I said, well, I wonder about those early Christians. Those that they took and fed to wild animals. Those that took and turned them bottom side up, maybe, and crucified them with their feet upward. Those that they tied up to a stake and burned. Took a sword and killed them. Crucified them. Burned them at the stake. I said, all they had to do is just commit a sin, turn right around, and ask God to forgive them. How many of them would have died? Whosoever, or he that committeth sin, 1 John 3:8. Whosoever commits sin is of the devil. You like that? It's truth. Now, you can't serve two masters. Either you'll love the one, hate the other, and cling to one, despise the other. If we're not careful, we will find ourselves robbing the Lord on His day of His time. Timothy received a letter from the Apostle Paul. And Paul told him, says, till I come, you give yourself the reading. I ain't gonna say who told me this, but because I pick on him too much. But he said he was nearly through Matthew studying it. That's great. When you read the Word of God, study it. Don't read just like you're reading a funny paper. Study it. I'm talking to you, brethren, mostly, but you sisters too. Because you got to serve the same Lord, and you got to obey God just as much as I have, just as much as Brother Millard has. Read the Word of God. Just read it. After you read it, study it. But if you'll start in the Word of God, and when you get over there in Matthew, and I know how it is to get started there. He begat this, and he begat that, and the time you get through, you don't know who begat who. But if you read it and just go right on, put it in your brain. Yeah. Put it in there. You got a computer, and you don't have any programs on it. That thing, it don't matter if you got the most sophisticated computer in the country, you don't have any programs in that thing. You go over and just beat the tar out of it, and you still ain't got anything. Something got to be put in there. Right in your head is one of the most complicated computer there is in the world. And you can fill it up with junk and trash if you want to, but that's what will be in there. And it gets down there in the heart, and when you open your mouth, I was kind of criticizing some folks a while back about they're talking about salvation. I told them every time they opened their mouth, their ignorance fell out. Well, that's what will happen if you fill your brain and your heart with the wrong stuff. When you open your mouth, it'll be gossip. It'll be criticism. It'll be something that's not worth the flip of your finger. But the Word of God tells us to edify one another. Brethren, if I was a betting man, which I am not, I'd take the biggest gamble driving down the road now. But if I was a betting man, I'd bet you that every one of us can spend a whole lot more time in the Word of God than what we're doing. And God is not going to hold us blameless if we rob Him of the day that He set aside for us to worship Him. I see some of the brethren that have gotten their lives so complicated that they have to work. And by the way, Brother LJ, I've been there. I know what I'm talking about. I let my little kids grow up, Brother Millard, and I look back and think, Lord, have mercy. How I could have, wish I could have just been with my little kids a little more. See people laying on their deathbed, I got only one request. I wish I'd have spent more time with my family. Told a man the other day, I said, I never have had a man tell me, boy, I wish I'd have worked more. Deadbeat, he don't ever want to work more anyway. But what I'm saying is, let's realize that God requires something of us. Somehow, let's get our work in such a way till when we come to church on Sunday morning, we can come with a free mind. We can just come out with a free mind. Well, yeah, but my hip down there probably burned the building. I mean, been there, know about it. But beloved, if a building's going to burn, let it burn. We have got to get some strength among the body from the Lord. Man, this is certainly nothing that I intend to get on to. But I might touch on this. Kind of rambling, Brother Miller. I might touch on this. I want to go to Matthew 16 and 18. Well, I'll back up a little bit. Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou. I want to back up. When Jesus came unto the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist. Some Elias. And others, Jeremiah. And are one of the prophets. He was kind of mixed up on whom Jesus was. He said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. While back I was having a little discussion with some people, and they are folks that don't believe that God is God. They believe Jesus is God. They don't believe that Jesus is the Son. They believe Jesus is the Father. And they have studied that doctrine so much until they have deceived themselves into believing that way. And I was talking with them, and I'd already determined what they were, but I wasn't going to mention it to them. But finally, one of them says, "Tell me, how do you baptize?" Well, I said, at one time I would debate that with you, but I said, I am going to tell you, I don't believe this, but I hope that God will let some people by that are just totally ignorant to this thing. But I said, I don't believe it. I just tell you, I hope it. Well, they started on their little hobby horse. Says, why not just do it like Peter did? Well, you know what Peter said. I says, yeah, I know what Peter said. But I said, I don't think you want to enter into an argument with me about this doctrine, because I know more about your doctrine than you do. But just in the event, they shut up about it. They didn't want to talk about it anymore. But just in the event that I answered what Peter said, right here is what I would have said. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. You don't need 10 scriptures. You don't need 100. And believe you me, I have already written down over 100 that proves that doctrine is as false as it can be. I've already written it down in book form. But beloved, one time, except you believe that I am he, you shall die in your sin, Jesus said. Who? The Son of God. But who do men say that I am? Peter says, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Now, I mentioned to you, brethren, study the Word of God. Don't study the Word of God to teach somebody else. Study the Word of God to put it in your mind and in your heart. And the Word of God said there's a blessing for you. But blessed is he. Blessed is he that meditates upon my laws day and night. And he'll be like a tree that's planted by the rivers of water, whose leaves don't wither. And he bringeth forth his fruit in his season, and whatsoever he doth, this shall prosper. Don't read the Word of God to try to teach the church. Because there, I know I'm rambling, Brother Millard, but there is a difference in a man reading and trying to study. Because when they stand up, and a fella, and no matter how much studying he's done, Brother Millard has had a friend that did that to the place where he just about run himself in the church. Studying day and night to teach people. But I'm going to tell you, and you children of God know this, you brethren know it, but somehow it's a spirit gets a hold of folks and they think I can study enough till I can teach the children of God. Now listen to what happens. Fellow stands up, and that is a fleshly, natural thing they're trying to do. And every child of God in the house that is serious before God will be cut off by it.
Amen. The Lord.
You know the reason? Because flesh and blood don't make that connection. It's the spirit that makes the connection. Brother, and I told you, we got a little meeting we want to have. And the purpose of that is try to get ourselves established to the place where when a man rises among us, I don't mean to go too far into this, But there are people that rise up, and every opportunity, it's like a log cutter, or a wood cutter. He goes out and he saws a big old block of wood, and he's going to make firewood out of it. First thing he's got to do is make a crack in that piece of wood. Just find him a little crack. Then he'll grab a wedge and drive it in there. And you know what? Sweet gum, about the hardest stuff I ever got a hold of to split. And my dad showed me how to do it. He says, "That's the way you got to do it, son. I split it right down the middle." He said, "No, you can't split it that way. Can't just bust it right down the middle. You got to chip it off a little on the sides around." "No, I can do it. Just a kid." I got out there and I started on a sweet gum block of wood about that big around. And I worked all day and half the night driving little wedges in it. I went in and woke him up. I said, "I done it. I split it. Drove little wedges in it." The devil sees a little split. Now here's the way the devil does it. He does it like the experienced woodcutter does. He just gets a little bit at the side. And he'll pick on the folks that he can get, that he can sway their mind and their opinion. And the first thing you know, they think he's the best thing going. But if he wants to tear a church apart, or a family apart, or a community apart, he starts in the middle, he starts driving wedges every time he has a chance. That's what we got to control. God gave you and me, brethren, the word that is powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. It can stop that foolishness. Take me about 3 months, and I would have been able to do it in 3 days. But it'd take me about 3 months, because when the Lord showed me something, I'd get down there and I'd read it, and I'd get it there, and then I'd go on over there and he'd show me something way over yonder somewhere. I'd read that, and the first thing you know, I got the awfulest jumbled up mess you ever saw. I told you, I got to get it together. Well, I got it together. Sisters, I want you to know the devil is after this way that's called the way of holiness, because it's the only right way there is from earth to glory. Amen. And the devil is after it. Brother, I got it written down so you can read it. I'm going to let you have it one of these days. But right now, I want to tell you something. In my lifetime, every time a pastor of a church... We all live in proof of it right here. I didn't think about that when I started, but every time the pastor of a true holiness church died, the devil ready there with a hot shot. Many years ago, a group of brethren from one of the churches, the pastor died. The pastor was a friend of mine. Kind of strange. That old pastor that stayed there and worked all those years, had big congregations coming to service, he died. We were friends. Worked funerals together, went to service together. Strangest thing. If I went over there now, they'd probably try their best not to even let me stand up and talk. You know why? When he died, one fellow jumps over there and says, "I'm going to be the pastor of the church. Y'all just well forget about getting anybody else." Another one says, "No, I'm going to be the pastor of the church." And a little group of the elders come over to the house and says, "Will you come over there? We want to have a meeting. We want to get your preacher brother and come over there and tell us what to do." "Well, yeah, I'll go." Got over there, and guess what? One of the fellows wouldn't even go to the meeting. "Don't matter what you say, I'm going to pastor that church." I used to go there when they had to leave windows open and the doors standing open and people standing around. Yeah. You and I were there. Amen. People looking in the windows, can't even get in the house. There's so many folks gathered out there. I'll tell you what, if they had 40 folks there for a service, Brother Miller kind of said something to me about that. I went to Wednesday night service, and I said, Brother Miller, I'm getting a little discouraged. I said, one of 42 people showed up for service last night. He said, that's a big crowd some places. If they got that many there, come out there, well, they'd think he was really going somewhere. They learned it. And by the way, what did the little few little preachers that went down there that they asked to come down there and tell them what to do, what did they tell them? I'll tell you what I told them. I told them both to stay over there and stay quiet and quit trying to teach the church. Get one old brother over there that don't want to do anything. Let him take the lead of the testimony service. And y'all sit here and let God send you a preacher down here and a pastor, and everybody can enjoy their salvation. They'd rather destroy a good church. And they did.
Amen.
And they did. Now they got two churches. Last time I went to... Well, that was the last time. That meeting was the last time I went to that one. But when they asked me to come up to the new one and in the dedication and all, I went up there. And we had all these young teachers getting up teaching, telling their experience. Their experience was about as exciting as them driving from home to the church. I sat there and I thought, man, if I get a chance, I'm going to tell this bunch of boys that if you want to be seen, stand up. If you want to be heard, speak up. And if you want to be appreciated here, shut up. After a long time, and I never went back over there, one of their preachers come over to the house and says, asked me why I didn't come over to church. I said, the last time I was over there, it was such a mess, I didn't want to go back. Beloved, don't take part in messages like that. We're children of God. And he says, come ye out from among them and be separate. Another church recently, pastor died. And I've been there. House would be full. Pastor died. Somebody went out there and put a padlock on the church door so they couldn't have service. Almost like a bunch of heathens. And if you want to call them that, you won't be far wrong. Right up the road, they started doing them a little church. 12 members bought them a church. Right on down the road, they started them another one. I don't know how many members they had, but right on up the road, another place, they started them another one. Now I come by there the other day and they're building them a new church. And then the people finally got things straightened out and they got back to the old church. Four different groups. Now, I asked one of the brethren, I said, Brother, I want to ask you a question. If you and me can't get along, can we both be right? Beloved, I'm going to tell you something. If you and me can't get along, chances are both of us are wrong. But we certainly can't both be right. Now, I said, if you split four ways here, how many of these people can be on the right thing? Beloved, the devil chipped it off. By one spirit are we all baptized into one body. When I started reading there, I was going to read to you that Jesus said upon this rock, he said, when Peter told him he was the Son of the living God, he says, blessed art thou, Simon, Bar-Jonah, because flesh and blood hadn't revealed it to you, but my Father which is in heaven. And upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. You know what that means? That means everything the devil has got, he can't overthrow one child of God if that man will stand firm on the word of God. He said, this thing is like a man that builds a house. And he builds it on the sand. And the wind come and the rain come and the house fell because it was built on the sand. But then he said, it's like a man that built a house and he digs down deep. And he finds the rock and he builds it upon the rock. And the wind come, the storms come, the rain beat vehemently upon that house and it fell not because it was founded on a rock. Jesus said, I'm finding this thing. I'm building me a church, and I'm going to build it on this rock. And beloved, this church, the devil himself don't have power to destroy that church that's built on the rock. He said, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Nothing the devil has got can overcome it. If the gates of hell can't prevail against this building right here, which elements can prevail against it? But if it couldn't, 2,000 years from now, you come by here and this building would look exactly like it does today. That's what his church is supposed to look like today. Exactly like it did. Now, did he build that church? Second chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, he built it. Up until that time, there was no New Testament church. On that day, the church was established. And the people were added to it by operation of the Holy Ghost. They received the Holy Ghost and made them a member of the church. And he said, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Pardon me. And that same day, there was added unto them about 3,000 souls. Now, I don't want to take up any more time rather than give you chapter and verse for this, I'm going to just tell you. The Word of God said Jesus is the head of all things under his church, under the church, which is his body. His body. And he is the head of the body, his church. At different times he refers to his church as being his body. And now he said, by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. There's only one way we can get into it. That is through baptism. Now, I want to add just a little bit more. And I realize that I have fragmented this whole thing. But for some reason, I think I'm doing exactly what the Lord wanted me to do with this. He said, it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Isn't that comforting? If you'll just call on the name of the Lord, you can be a child of God. Then he said, how shall they call on him of whom they have not believed? Well, the devil believed God and trembled. Somebody said, well, all you got to do is confess that Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Well, there was one time that the devil, it was so many of them that they destroyed 2,000 head of swine. And they stood before him and said, we know who thou art, thou Holy One of God. No, what you say and what you do might be two entirely different things. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then can you call on him of whom you have not believed? Do you believe today, if you leave here with a determination in your heart, I am going to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord, and mean that in your heart? Do you believe that God will build you up and edify you in the way? How can you call on him of whom you've not believed? How can you believe on him of whom you have not heard? And how can you hear without a preacher? And how can he preach except he be sent? Now, beloved, we are praying. We're begging God to send us a pastor that we can look to that will feed the church of God, which is His body. We're praying to that end. But I want to tell you something. Some guy walks in here and he looks nice. He began to talk with you and he sounds good. And he began to meet out with a different brethren and try to convince him he's the man for the job. You better look out. Because I'm going to tell you something. When God sends His Spirit upon a man to preach the Word of God before the children of God, the children of God that fear God will know Him before he knows himself. Anything else causes confusion. And ruins good people. How can you preach except you be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that bring glad tidings of good things, that publishes peace, that saith unto Zion, thou Redeemer liveth, for together shall thy watchmen lift up their voice, and together shall they sing, for they shall see eye to eye when I bring again Zion. It's hard to find anybody that can see eye to eye with me. I don't know, Brother Keith, I just can't hardly find them. A long time ago, I kind of identified with David. He said, I'm for peace, but every time I speak, they for war. I went to a place where the folks practiced running up and grabbing people and trying to shake the Holy Ghost into them, laying hands on them when the Lord wasn't even close to it, grabbing them and saying, now listen to me and let me tell you how to receive the Holy Ghost. And you know what I told them? I said, if you folks can shake the Holy Ghost into those people tonight, tomorrow the devil can shake it right out of them. And besides that, God give you an example and me an example and a direct commandment. And if we don't follow it, then God said, let him be accursed. Now, if you can't read that sort of foolishness to me in the Word of God, I'm going to tell you, you're accursed of God no matter what you do about it. Get under the fear of God. I'm going to tell you what, you don't have much power at all in that hand. Any more than that old staff Moses carried around. But when God said lift it up over the sea, he lifted it up and the waters parted. When the Holy Ghost gets a hold of you and that hand goes on somebody, beloved, you did glory to God, something got to happen. This is not a game. Speaking in tongues is not a game. I know there's folks teaching them how to do it. Some of these split offs, get down there and say, stick your tongue out and try to and say glory as fast as you can. Guess what I do if I catch them doing some of my people that way? And I'm an easy going person. I'm easy to get along with. I don't see any of them, but it could be some here that I've had to put them right back in the altar when they got them up claiming the Holy Ghost for them. Beloved, you don't want to claim the Holy Ghost for anybody, because as soon as they leave here, the devil is going to put you on the stand and you're not going to be worth a flip. At that day you shall know. What day? The day the Holy Ghost comes into your life. If you don't know, beloved, when you walk out there and you face death or death and hell, and you won't have much to stand on, know where you're at with the Lord. This is not a game. And when the Holy Ghost moves on you, I know, brother, and I'm rambling, but when the Holy Ghost moves on you, and that Holy Ghost gets down there, Sister Myrtle, you come up through things when you had to have God. You had to have the Lord in your life. You had to have help from God. A lot of us is already, I could just go around here and pick people out I know has come up through the things where they had to have help from God. Beloved, what if you made a game out of speaking in tongues and shouting? What if you made a game out of laying hands on one another and shouting in, among yourselves? What if you made a game out of that? And then suddenly you're faced with the devil right in your face and you don't have any substance to hold on to. Faith is a substance, isn't it? You don't have anything that you can stand eyeball to eyeball with the devil. Listen, glory to God, Brother Roger. I have gone and I've stood eyeball to eyeball with him. And beloved, if I have to die for this, so be it, beloved, but don't let me fail. Everything I got, everything I've ever had, and everything I ever hope to have is tied up in this today. I don't want to risk it on a gamble to you. Y'all pray for me. I know that I've stood up here and covered 14 different things at least, and I didn't mean to do it. But beloved, we're in dangerous time. We're in critical times. The devil is standing ready to make a move toward the children of God. Already, they're beginning this little chip they're placing in people's right hand. I had in one of my Bibles, somebody handed me a picture of some of the people running a scanner over their hand because identification chips already being implanted. John said the beast is going to do that. And it just kind of amazed me that it was in their right hand just like the Bible said it'd be in. Time is running out on you. If you hadn't got salvation, you are on dangerous, dangerous ground. I'm going to get out of the way. I taking up too much time, I guess, but I'm glad to be here. I want God. I want to ask every child of God here. I want you to, any faith that you've got, any power with the Lord that you got, I want you to use that toward God. Praying for a brother up here that had this thing come up on him, I want you to use that to ask God to put his strength back in him, because I'm going to tell you something. When they told me this, I couldn't even believe it happened hardly. I said, no, the church needs him too bad there. I'm not trying to blow him up. He knows how I feel about him. But he's an elder. And we're going to talk about that at another time. We can't make an elder out of a younger. And we can't ordain an elder to any kind of office if he don't meet the qualifications. Beloved, but let's get behind this church. Let's look at our life and let's ask ourselves, Sister Doshi, what can I do? Lord, have mercy. Started building that little church over on Margaret Street. Old Brother Al come down home and said that bunch of people said they are like a bunch of little kids over just a whole bunch of candy. They are so excited. They are so excited, and they love that church so much. Beloved, look what you got now. How much do you love it today? You ought to go out there and talk to your neighbor and say, look, I want you to come up and be in church with us. I don't mean go knocking on doors or proselyting. I mean talk to people. I worked with Singer Sewing Machine Company for years. You know what I'd do when I'd talk with people? If the Lord put it on my heart, I'd say, I'd like for you to come down and be in church with us. You know what? It's surprising me when some of them come down there and they'd sit there and the first thing you know is in the altar and receive the Holy Ghost.
Praise the Lord.
Some people feel like you just don't care whether they lost or not if you don't ask them to come out and be in church with you. Y'all pray for me.